Hi there, and welcome to the new LifeSpring Family Audio Bible, episode 490. My name is Steve Webb, and I'm your host. It's Friday. This has been kind of a long week for me. A lot of stuff going on. I'm looking forward to taking a couple of days off. How about you? This is the podcast that helps you achieve consistency in reading the Bible, and we have a new episode for you every Monday through Friday. What we're doing is reading through the Bible on two tracks. Track one is the Old Testament, and track two is the New. Every day we alternate the tracks, and the shows are usually between 10 and 15 minutes in length. Today our reading is Romans chapter 3 from the New English Translation and Romans chapter 4 from the New King James Version. Let's get started. Romans chapter 3. Therefore, what advantage does the Jew have, or what is the value of circumcision? Actually, there are many advantages. First of all, the Jews were entrusted with the oracles of God. What then? If some did not believe, does their unbelief nullify the faithfulness of God? Absolutely not. Let God be proven true, and every human being shown up as a liar, just as it is written, quote, so that you will be justified in your words and will prevail when you are judged, unquote. But if our unrighteousness demonstrates the righteousness of God, what shall we say? The God who inflicts wrath is not unrighteous, is he? I'm speaking in human terms. Absolutely not. For otherwise, how could God judge the world? For if by my lie the truth of God enhances his glory, why am I still actually being judged as a sinner? And why not say, let us do evil so that good may come of it, as some who slander us allege that we say? Their condemnation is deserved. What then? Are we better off? Certainly not, for we have already charged that Jews and Greeks alike are all under sin. Just as it is written, quote, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. Together they have become worthless. There is no one who shows kindness, not even one. Unquote. Or, quote, their throats are open graves. They deceive with their tongues. The poison of asps is under their lips. Unquote. And, quote, their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness, unquote. And, quote, their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery are in their paths, and the way of peace they have not known, unquote. And, there is no fear of God before their eyes, unquote. Now, we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For no one is declared righteous before him by the works of the law, for through the law comes the knowledge of sin. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God, which is attested by the law and the prophets, has been disclosed, namely, the righteousness of God through the faithfulness of Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But they are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. God publicly displayed Him at His death as the mercy seat accessible through faith. This was to demonstrate His righteousness, because God, in His forbearance, had passed over the sins previously committed. This was also to demonstrate His righteousness in the present time, so that he would be just and the justifier of the one who lives because of Jesus' faithfulness. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. By what principle? Of works? No, but by the principle of faith. For we consider that a person is declared righteous by faith apart from the works of the law. Or is God the God of the Jews only? Is he not the God of the Gentiles too? Yes, of the Gentiles too. Since God is one, he will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith. Do we then nullify the law through faith? Absolutely not. Instead, we uphold the law. Romans chapter 4. What then shall we say that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness, just as David also described the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. He said, "Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven, and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin." Does this blessedness then come upon the circumcised only, or upon the uncircumcised also? For we say that faith was accounted to Abraham for righteousness. How then was it accounted? While he was circumcised or uncircumcised? Not while circumcised, but while uncircumcised. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had while still uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all those who believe, though they are uncircumcised, that righteousness might be imputed to them also, and the father of circumcision to those who not only are of the circumcision, but who also walk in the steps of faith which our father had while still uncircumcised. For the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void, and the purpose made of no effect, because the law brings about wrath, for where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, "I have made you a father of many nations." In the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead, and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who, contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, "So shall your descendants be." And not being weak in the faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised he was also able to perform. And therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses, and was raised because of our justification. May God richly bless the reading of his word. Do you have a favorite place? Some place on the planet that you think about when you wish you could just get away from it all? Some place where you're both relaxed and excited at the same time? For me, that place is a little campsite in the Yosemite wilderness. It's a place nestled in where the Merced River takes a gentle 90-degree turn on its way down to the Yosemite Valley. I love to sit in my mind's eye, just at that corner, amidst the pine trees, as the Steller's Jays call out and the occasional brown trout jumps out of the gently flowing water chasing a mosquito for dinner. Since it's the wilderness, this spot is well away from the crushing crowds of tourists who never leave the paved paths of a valley. Only backpackers get to see this area. It's a peaceful spot, and oh so exciting at the same time because so relatively few get to enjoy this place. Well, that's how I feel about Romans chapter 4. Peaceful and excited. I love to read this chapter. The excitement comes first for me. How can you not be excited to read, "Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness"? Wait, what? All he did was believe God, and God credited him with righteousness? Really? You mean old Abe didn't have to go slay a dragon or kill 100 bulls or starve himself for a month or? He just believed God? Yeah, that's it. You say, that can't be right. Surely he did something. Nope. Listen, chapter 4 says, "Now to the one who works, his pay is not credited due to grace, but due to obligation. But to the one who does not work, but believes in the one who declares the ungodly righteous, his faith is credited as righteousness." Abraham's faith was credited as righteousness, not as work, because that would have been a payment of obligation. Well, you heard the chapter. Paul went into a fair amount of detail, and all of it good. And it is all so exciting to see that it's not works that earns righteousness. And that's a good thing, keeping in mind what Paul wrote in chapter 3, you know, where he said, "There is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. Together they have become worthless. There is no one who shows kindness, not even one." Man, talk about getting beat up. But back here in chapter 4, we get the good news that Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. And what's good about that? Well, the closing sentences tell us, "But the statement it was credited to him was not written only for Abraham's sake, but also for our sake, to whom it will be credited, those who believe in the one who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was given over because of our transgression and was raised," why? "For the sake of our justification." This is the part of the chapter that gives me peace. I'm excited that God's plan for man is so incredibly generous. Believe and be righteous. I find infinite peace in the knowledge that this lavish grace is extended to me and to you. When we really begin to grasp this truth, there is nothing that can steal your peace. Have a great weekend. I'm expecting to have an announcement for you on Monday. If you're following me on Facebook, you already know what it is. And that's all I'm going to say about it right now. Thanks to my friendly editor. You, my friend, are a true blessing. I appreciate your consistent support of the show. And if you, dear listener, would like to help support the Lifespring Family Audio Bible, how about going over to support.lifespringmedia.com and taking a look. I'll see you Monday. Until then, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Bye.